All right, top of the hour here on Sports Grid Fantasy Sports Today. Those of you who are just joining us, go back and watch our show on demand. George and I went through a handful of NFL games coming up this weekend against the spread. Also taking a look at some best ball conversation for those of you who are still waiting for that very last minute to do your fantasy draft. But that being said, here are our headlines as we begin the show here on this afternoon. We've got three games in Major League Baseball, one about to get started in about an hour from now, as Houston takes on Seattle, trying to win their third straight game in a row. And 12 games tonight also in Major League Baseball. Pete Alonso becomes the second fastest Major League player to hit 100 home runs. He hit two last night against the Marlins. The Rays are calling up one of their top prospects. Outfielder Josh Lowe is headed to the big leagues to go along with Wander Franco and some of the other great offensive players that they have. Lowe, Brandon Lau, Nate Lowe. Got to keep up with all the Lowe's and Lau's on Tampa Bay. And the Houston Texans, George, add Danny Amendola to their wide receiving mix, who probably won't play a huge factor in fantasy this season. But if Houston does decide to trade all their remaining assets over the next couple of months, as we get to the trade deadline, then perhaps Danny Amendola will be a four-catch, 50-yard player at one point this season.
He very well might. It's generally what he does. It's going to take some time there. You said it. Houston is... if it ain't nailed down, it's going. They'll trade anybody right now, which I guess is what they should do, right? Yeah. Listen, when you know you're bad, you know you're terrible, let's go. Let's start from scratch. It's going to be 2, 3, 4 years anyway. You know, they're going to trade Deshaun Watson eventually. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, but eventually when a lot of this gets worked out with other the courts, the civil and criminal courts, they'll trade him. I doubt he's going to jail. Generally, these things don't end up with jail time there. Same thing with Trevor Bauer is what I believe. But they'll trade him eventually. Maybe he goes to Philadelphia. Maybe Tua's going to be a bust. I'm not saying he is, but maybe he is. He goes to Miami, whatever it might be. And they'll get draft picks from that. They'll get their next franchise quarterback, and they'll go from there. That being said, it's going to be a long road for Houston. Long road before we're talking about the Texans and as far as any kind of playoff team.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, is that George, doesn't it feel like at the beginning of the season we try to identify the worst team in the league and it never ends up being that way? I feel like we've been doing this for years. A couple of years ago, it was Miami. They started off, what, 0-8 and then ended up winning six games at the end of the season. And going into last year, I think most people thought that maybe Carolina was going to be the worst team in the NFL. And they looked pretty good for, you know, pretty much three quarters of the season. And I know no one really thought much of Jacksonville. They did finish at the bottom, but that's the one thing to me that is always interesting with these win totals in the NFL. You a team loses on opening day, their first game, Houston will probably lose 31-0. And then everyone is like, oh, they're not going to win a game this season. And I know it happened with Detroit many years ago, but in general, somehow every team in the NFL ends up winning 4 or 5 games. It wasn't always like that.
No, it wasn't, but I do think it's changing to be like that. I think it's like that in all sports now, because you either want to be competing for a trophy in your sport or you want to suck. You don't want to be in between, right? Because you want to either get those top draft picks where, hey, we can really rebuild much quicker, or you want to be a championship team or go to the championship game or whatever it might be. You know, I'm the Cowboy fan. Cowboys have been middling hell now for decades. They're literally 8-8 almost every year for like 20 years. It's weird when you look at the numbers there. And that's hurt the team because you don't get low enough to get those draft picks and you're not high enough to compete for anything. You're just 8-8. So you don't want to do that. How did the Cubs get good and the Astros get good in baseball? They were terrible for a couple of years. Got those low picks. Tanking is the evil word, right? The evil word in sports, tanking. But the way most sports are geared towards, that's what you have to do. You have to tank. You've got to be bad. I don't want to say Houston's doing that's what they're doing, but it is. And I don't think they're wrong to do it. The way the rules are, you have to do that. You can't be in the middle. You don't want to win 5 games. You want to win 2.
Right. But again, I don't think anybody thought, George, the Jets would win a game last year, too. I'm just saying, I think that what happens in the NFL for me, and look, baseball is very clear. The Orioles, you know, are not trying to win maybe as hard as they could. They lost 19 games in a row. But in the NFL, George, these guys, it seems to me once every 3 or 4 games, the game is close. I don't know let's use Houston. There's 17 games. They lose their first 3. The 4th game is going to be close. And whether or not they kick a field goal or the other team misses one, that may give them a win. And then as the season goes on, what happens is some of the teams, George, they fall out of it. And Houston is still just kind of playing how they were, which is whatever talent we have, we play. I felt like that was happening with Miami. I felt like that last year was happening with the Jets. And I feel like Carolina overplayed their hand a little bit last year. So teams like Detroit and Houston, I think massive overreaction is going to come in the first few weeks of how they play. But in the end, they win 3-4 games. And so I'll never bet those unders when I see a team with 2 wins. I learned my lesson with Miami a few years ago. They looked like they weren't going to win a game.
Well, when I say teams tank, I never mean players. Players aren't tanking because, hey, everything you do is on film. And, a Houston player, well, maybe you're not going to be on Houston next year, but if you want to go to Dallas or Denver, whatever, Green Bay, you better show something on film. And it better not be that you are, half hustling. And I said football's a weird game. The other team might be a better team, but if they fumble the ball that day, quarterback throws a couple of, they get deflected pass, they get picked off. It can change in a hurry, right? Of who's winning the game and who's losing the game. And we all know it's sports. Maybe the team just has a bad Sunday, the better team. And the good teams, the worst team is in it, and then they get a lucky break. Maybe the Zebras had something to do with it. Lord knows those yellow hankies fly everywhere, and we never know why.
Yeah, it's funny how those things go. But what's not funny is that there's a lot of players out there that are still unsigned and may end up getting signed. We saw Le'Veon Bell ended up locking on, at least for now, with the Baltimore Ravens. Will Cam Newton end up anywhere? And why are we doing a segment where we're talking about free agents where we don't mention Frank Gore? We'll do that next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I think we all like to speculate over the course of the fantasy season on players that may end up on teams, of players that are still unsigned, and of course there's no shortage of those. So to get an edge on that and to find out who they may end up on, here's what you do. You go to our social media channels, because we're talking about these players all the time on our Twitter handle @SportsGrid and @SportsGridTV. Download us and just basically follow us there. You could also follow me on Twitter @CraigMish, @GeorgeKurtz. Whether it's the early line, the morning after, our show here on Fantasy Sports Today, Gabe Morency, Scott Farrell, we're talking, you're listening. And if you're missing any 2-hour blocks of the show, this is a much easier way to engage with us over on social media @SportsGrid and @SportsGridTV. And so, George, that's the dynamic that makes the NFL season so interesting, is that there still are some players out there that are free agents, and we're going to get into them here a little bit, but I guess we could just start by just generally speaking, when a player like Cam Newton is cut right before training camp, and we saw last year, if you remember, Leonard Fournette was cut right before the season began, and then he ended up locking in with Tampa, didn't really do anything initially, and then he played. Could there be a scenario where Cam Newton plays? Because inevitably, 32 teams in the NFL, I don't know, how many would you say, 4 or 5 quarterbacks after week 1, fans are going to be going nuts that they should be cutting this guy and picking up Cam Newton. Doesn't matter what Newton looked like. Kind of feel like that's going to come. I would guess if Newton wants to play, he will be able to.
The problem is, for a quarterback, you don't know the system. You don't know the offense. And Cam is a completely different kind of quarterback because he's a running quarterback. So all those RPOs have to be in there. So I think he'd only – as far as short term, would only match up with certain teams that have the same kind of same kind of quarterback play. Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, I think he'd fit in there because he can learn that offense really quick. Maybe Philadelphia, but they just traded for a quarterback. So I think that's Cam's issue here. Now, Cam, I actually was reading on Twitter earlier in between one of our breaks, says he's going to have a long, interview on Friday or a statement on Friday. He says it's not a retirement statement, but he's going to get some things off of his chest. That should be interesting. I want to see what he's going to say there. I don't think he's going to knock New England, mind you. Maybe he's going to knock the protocols as far as COVID, because I think that actually is one of the big reasons why he lost his job, because he all of a sudden, you know, they screwed up where what he could do and what he couldn't do, and he couldn't play at practice for 5 days, and Mac Jones all of a sudden vaulted ahead of him. So I wonder what's going to come of that. But Newton's a different kind of quarterback. I think it's much easier for running backs where they go team. It's because, listen, you're running back, see hole, hit hole. Yeah, you know, so it's easier for a running back to pick up with a new team right away than it is a quarterback or even a wide receiver.
Yeah, the thing that I would say, George, and we went through this with Mohamed Sanu, I think last year too, it feels like, especially the offensive skill players, very few have success when they're cut this late in the game in that current season. It just doesn't feel like there's a huge path to success. But let's take a look at some of the free agents that are still out there. And Cam, of course, leads the list, certainly at quarterback. He would help somebody. Mitchell Schwartz is there at offensive line. And Russell Okung, at one point, was arguably one of the best at his position. Rich Wagner is another. Olivier Vernon, who signed that huge contract with our buddy David Cantor as his agent with the Giants a few years ago. And then Golden Tate feels like this is sort of the end of the line for him. I thought it was the end of the line for him last year, but not a ton of options out there, honestly, at this point, George. I mean, I feel like if you were a good player, you're probably on a team right now.
Yeah, that's the first and foremost, right? If you were good, someone would have you right now. I imagine every one of these guys, including Tate, if they want to play and they're in shape, they'll be on a team eventually. We all know what, I mean, is there anything more depressing during the football season than Monday mornings when you go through, oh, this guy's hurt, this guy's out. I mean, it just gets – it sucks. When you look at it, Monday morning, everyone's out. So many injuries. NFL is a brutal sport. Brutal sport. It's why you'll never hear me, I guess, criticize the money an NFL player makes, because it's your quality of life is really never the same after a couple of years of playing professional football. So it is what it is. But like I said, I think every one of these guys – Olivier Vernon probably is the first guy that comes to mind. Pass rusher Okung as well here, because you got to protect your quarterback from the pass rushers. If they want to play, I think they'll get jobs. We also have to remember, quirky little NFL rule here where you signed after week one, your contract's only guaranteed for a certain amount of games, not the full season. So I think that also takes a place of why these guys haven't been signed. Why Le'Veon Bell's on the practice squad and on the actual roster? Same thing. A lot of these will be signed after week one, including Latavius Murray. Same thing. I don't think he'll be signed before week one now, but next week, absolutely.
Yeah, it could happen. And then, by the way, before we, you know, move on from this, I gotta say that we did disrespect my guy Frank Gore here a little bit. Frank Gore is still a free agent, and you guys know by now, you know, I collect cards and everything. But like, I mean, do we have to really get into this? My Frank Gores, you see all these? These are all Frank Gores. See, Brett, see, look what you did to me. You just disrespected it. Here's all my PSA Frank Gores. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, Frank Gore is a Hall of Famer, George. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, but he may not have the skills that Le'Veon Bell did 2-3 years ago, but someone signs him, and he is getting 4 yards per carry, 500 yards, and he's going to help with your locker room and veteran leadership. Now, the only thing with Frank Gore, George, is that I haven't heard his name once. I haven't heard his name once the entire training camp or the NFL preseason. Now, I went to the University of Florida. People associate me with Miami a lot. I covered Frank Gore when he was at the University of Miami. My school is Florida, two different places. But I got a ton of respect for this guy. I was hoping to get another year out of him. To be honest with you, George, who looked better between Le'Veon Bell and Frank Gore or the Jets? It was Frank Gore. So why doesn't somebody sign him?
Yeah, first thing I did while you were showing us everybody your cards is looking for some news on Gore. And there's nothing. I'm on RotoWire. There's nothing since January when he had a lung contusion and he was undetermined about his future. So the first question I might ask is, does he want to play? Is that why we haven't heard anything? Because you said he would take no money. He'd be a very good locker room presence guy. So I'm surprised there hasn't been someone who at least give him a shot. So I do wonder, Craig, maybe, you know, he just told teams, nah, you know, I'm done. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, the other element that's happened is that his son, George, is playing at Southern Mississippi this season, and he's actually really good, too. He's a nice young running back for them, too. Maybe I thought he'd want to keep playing so he could play in the NFL with his son, and his son, I think, is a year away. But you're probably right. Are there any other free agents, by the way, out there? Did we miss anybody, George, here in the NFL who is not on a team. Was Baltimore considering? Oh, Gurley was the other one, right? Todd Gurley's the other name. I don't think he's got anything though left, right?
I mean, I think I'd probably rather have Bell at this point. But you, as you said, any of these guys were so good, they'd be signed by now, right? They'd be on the team. There's no one out there that's going to make a huge difference for anybody. I can't see that. Maybe a one game, they make one big play or one big run. But I don't see anybody making a huge difference. Oh, my God, how is this guy not signed? You know, I don't see that happening, no.
Yeah, I don't think so as well. All right, plenty more to come here on our show. We, of course, have Fantasy Sports Today's Fantasy Reality coming up a little bit later. We'll have some fun questions and about Weird Al Yankovic. We'll put George in the hot seat on that. We got the Sports Grid 60, no doubt about that. But most importantly, we're getting much closer here to the beginning of the fantasy football season. And each and every Sunday, right here on Sports Grid, we're giving you a two-hour live show called Fantasy Sports Today, just like the one here. And we're getting you ready for game day. Now, George, what is your responsibilities each and every Sunday here at Sports Grid? Are we seeing you on the air? Are you doing radio? What are you doing?
I'll be behind the scenes. So at night from 6 to midnight or 6 to 10, I forget what time our programming ends, behind the scenes for in-game live, making sure we're on air, that little key thing that we're on air. So as long as we're on air, all is good. If anything happens, once again, internet-based, the internet goes down, then all hell breaks loose.
All right, George. Well, thanks for giving up the bright side of the possibilities for our shows here on Sports Grid this season. All right, stay with us. We got plenty more coming up. Make sure you follow us again on Twitter at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish. George on Twitter at George Kurtz. As we continue on here, talking more fantasy discussion here on this Wednesday, a little bit over 24 hours away to kickoff in the NFL Week 1. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Our series continues, taking a look at each skill position player and their prop on FanDuel. And so we'll take a position here on the show, over or under today, George, on total receiving touchdowns for a handful of receivers and tight ends in the NFL. And George, before we get into these specifically, this is not a stat that can be controlled a lot of times by the player. It does require health. It requires a good quarterback, and it also requires, obviously, a little bit of luck, too. A defender falls down, player is open in the back of the end zone. So touchdown props for me are a little bit tougher, but it's fun to go through.
I agree with you. I think touchdown props are somewhat a quality of luck. You don't want someone like Michael Irvin back in the day who purposely went out of bounds at the one-yard line over and over again so MSK can get those touchdowns. I know that may be a simplification, but he did that a time or two. And as someone who may have had him on his fantasy team, very frustrating.
Yeah, and Barry
not
Sanders.
Not angry, though. Another one. Not angry at all. Yeah. Barry Sanders was a vacuum. Kept getting sucked up every time. And he was trying to get in, though, but he was another frustrating player. 80-yard run, no one within 20 yards of him, but he gets caught at the 5-yard line over and over and over again.
The most interesting thing, by the way, about Barry Sanders, for me personally, is and I think somebody must have posted highlights the other day of him. I don't know when it was, but there's this same highlight reel that they show all of Barry Sanders' best runs. There's takeaways maybe that you don't have, George, you will now moving forward, is that it feels like half of them are against Tampa Bay. And it does. And a lot of the other ones are, of course, or Thanksgiving or it's out. But the thing, George, that I can say is I was at a lot of those games that he did that against Tampa Bay. I was there. I covered the Buccaneers at that time. It was, you know, kind of toward the end of Barry Sanders' career. But remember, the end of Barry Sanders' career was just as good as the beginning. He retired very early. So those runs that you see where he's playing at the old Sombrero, the old Tampa Stadium, I was at a lot of those. So amazing to watch, by the way. Okay, story for another day when you guys care. Today you care about props, so let's give them to you. Chase Claypool of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Boy, is he reliant on the touchdown. Now, the other thing is that this is just receiving touchdowns, and we know that Claypool can run. We've seen it on those sweeps near the goal line. His total is 6.5 on FanDuel. Prop right here is -112 to win 100. And George, look, Claypool is an unbelievable up-and-coming star. Scored a lot of his touchdowns in bunches last season and could easily go over this number of 6.5. But he clearly is tied to Big Ben Roethlisberger. What do you like here, over or under?
As you said, listen, your first inclination when you see 6.5 is to go the over, right? Because we say, I can't say this enough, the NFL wants points on the board. Everything's geared towards the passing game, right? The quarterback's protected. You can't hit a receiver. You breathe on him. Penalty, 15 yards. Can't hit the guy. All right, so I don't like the way it is, but that's the way the game is played here. My problem is this. You said it, Roethlisberger. I think that arm is going to get, or shoulder, whatever it might be, elbow, is going to get weaker and weaker as the season goes on. We saw it last year. Once that weather turned cold, he was throwing up punts. He was throwing up fair catches. Yeah, sometimes they were caught, but he had no arm strength whatsoever. The other negative here is I like Claypool. I also like Deontay Johnson. Smith-Schuster's there. I know they want to run the ball with Harris. Sorry, and protect Ben as much as possible here. I still like the over here, but then all three of them aren't going to get over 6.5. I don't think Juju gets it at all. I'm still leaning the over there. I think Claypool will, but it won't be massively over. But I could see 7-8, so yes.
Okay, let's move on to Julio Jones, who is now on the Tennessee Titans. And George, through the years, he's been a model of health, but that has sort of changed now over the last year or so. And that's my concern here, strictly, with his total. It's 6.5. And there were probably people looking at this number going, my gosh, Julio Jones, Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill, it's got to be an over. Well, not if he isn't healthy. And they do have other wide receivers there, George, -112 to win 100. I'm going to lean under here on Julio Jones. I bet against health. And certainly if Jones was to miss two games, which would not be a lot considering what happened to him last year, I don't think that he hits this number. I'm a big fan of Tannehill. I'm a big fan of that offense, George. But between Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, I think those are the first two targets.
All right. It's Julio. Listen, Julio Jones, Hall of Famer, all that. You said he might miss two games, not a lot. That's true. But how many games is he going to miss quarters of because he's banged up? You know, is that little that little icon we have on there, him going up for a catch a pass there on our little preview of Jones there? Forget about it. His image should be a question mark, a Q, because that's what he always is on your lineup, right? Because you never know when he's going to play. You know, he's always questionable. He's a frustrating player to have in fantasy because you're always at Sunday at 12:50 going, God, do I start Jones or do I start this guy? Because I know this guy's going to play. This guy's going to play a full game. Extremely frustrating. He had trouble scoring touchdowns with Atlanta. We all know this. Three last year, six the year before that, 8-3, 6-8, 6-2. I like Tannehill, but Matt Ryan was a better passing quarterback, and that team threw the ball more. No, I'm with you here, under.
Yeah, my favorite one of all of them. And by the way, no knock against Julio Jones, but he's one of the players that when I'm watching in the NFL and the guy falls down, that I'm worried he's not going to get up. I can't say that for a lot of players. I get worried about Julio Jones. All right, now over to George Kittle, another number that feels low, but certainly, again, the quarterbacking has not been great. If you're going to bet the over on Kittle's total on FanDuel, which is 5.5, you're laying -126 to win 100. So may want to look for some better options there. The under is at -102. Look, two different quarterbacks probably going to play this season, George, with George Kittle. I don't know. I think I'll just pass here. A lot of uncertainty, but I certainly will see him catching a lot of passes. I think if he plays a full season, he probably goes over this number. I just don't know who Trey Lance will favor when he gets in the game. By the way, if you told me Jimmy G was the quarterback for 17 weeks, I'd probably go over here.
Would you? Would it surprise me you to tell if I told you? He's never done the over of that. He catches passes. He does not catch touchdowns. He's never gone over 5.5. His highest total is 5, which he's done twice, and he's done 2 touchdowns twice. So this is an under for me. It's another because not only that, it tells you that he's not a touchdown guy for whatever reason. I imagine teams just take him out in the red zone. They want them to throw to Ayuk. They want to throw to Deebo Samuel, or they just run in touchdowns, whatever it might be there. But you're right. Trey Lance is taking over eventually. I said it earlier in the show. I think out of all the first-round rookie quarterbacks, Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Mac Jones, Lance, I think Lance starts last. Due to the fact that he's had the injury, he hasn't been able to throw a football now. I don't know if he's starting until somewhere in October. All these guys are going to play, by the way. History tells you this. They will all play. Jimmy Garoppolo is not starting 17 games, but I think Garoppolo might start 8-9, which would definitely help with this, by the way. But history tells me he's not going to do it. And then Lance is going to take over. So, no. And Kittle's been a little banged up of late as well. No, under here, I'm not doing it.
Okay. And then finally, let's close it out with Buffalo Bills' Stephon Diggs, who had one of the best seasons for a receiver in the NFL last year. With Josh Allen, his total going into this season with Buffalo is 8.5. So, again, adjusting from what he was 2 years ago with Minnesota and then to last year what he was with Buffalo, again, -112 to win 100. And Diggs became Josh Allen's primary target last season, George. And I understand they have Gabriel Davis there and they'll throw to the backs occasionally. But it's not like Buffalo brought in another receiver. So I would suppose Diggs still will get close to this number.
I think Diggs can be your poster child, by the way, for what a number one receiver does for a quarterback. Maybe it was a coincidence, but they traded for Diggs. A trade that worked out for both teams, by the way. Right? Minnesota's very happy with Justin Jefferson in that deal. But sure. A trade that worked out for both teams. They got Diggs, a true number one, and all of a sudden, Josh Allen takes that next step. All of a sudden, he goes from, we think he could be a good quarterback, but he makes some bonehead plays here, to, wow, he's elite. Because they got him a true number one wide receiver in Diggs here. My only question about this over, no, it's good. He's never been a big touchdown guy. You can really only judge him off last season. He had 8 touchdowns, 6, 9, 8. So he's never been a big touchdown guy. My only worry here for this over is COVID. You know, and that's with every over, by the way, that we're going to bet, you know, as far as season-long overs, is that we don't know what's going to happen. What if Josh Allen gets it? What if he, you know, what if Diggs gets it? You know, so that's my only worry here that it could affect these guys. And like I said, this is every over bet, future over you're going to bet. Is that I worry about the effect that COVID might play. You're always worried about injury, and now we throw COVID, this fun new variable, into it, which hurts it here. But assuming he stays healthy, if he plays 17 games, yeah, I think he gets it.
Okay. One quick note here. Curtis Samuel of the Washington football team, George, according to NBC Sports, he had an injury in practice, exited early. Looks like he's in doubt for week 1, pulled up working with trainers. So I don't know how that affects Washington all that much, although we know that McLaurin is going to be their primary target. Any ideas on who could step in for Washington? I know Samuel, look, it didn't work out for him in Carolina. They're hoping it's going to work out for him in Carolina. But if he can't play against the Chargers, rookie De'Ami Brown, who I know has been buzzing a little bit in the fantasy community, maybe he's somebody to add.
This is not good news for the Washington football team because, you know, Samuel's their big offseason addition as far as the offense is concerned. He was dealing with a groin injury. Now, I don't have any verification here, but I do wonder if he re-injured that groin, if that's what they're reporting here as far as NBC Sports World. The other big issue here is, remember, they had the Thursday night game next week. So he might be out now the first two games of the season. I don't know if he can come back that quickly here. McLaurin, Samuel, Humphreys could be a guy here. Maybe he gets more room out of the slot. But there's going to be a lot of targets going to McLaurin's way. That's the guy you're going to be looking for here. Logan Thomas as well.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. All right. So good note by George there that they play next Thursday night. Okay, we got Fantasy or Reality coming up next. We also got the Sports Grid 60 as well. So we'll be giving you updates throughout the day here on the show. Any line movement, anything happening in the NFL or college football. Of course, we've got a full slate of college football games coming up this weekend. Later in the week, Davis Maddock and I will preview the Ohio State-Oregon game, which is one of the bigger ones on the schedule, and plenty more to come. So make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid all week long. We got you right up until kickoff here on Thursday. And, of course, in-game live will be covered on tomorrow night's game. We'll be back with more FST right here on this Wednesday. Take it away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. George, a lot of people this time of the year, and I know that you know, working for Sports Grid, me working for Sports Grid, we tend to like have a joke that it's time to say we're sorry to our wives because football season is coming and we're going to be watching quite a bit of football. Now, I know for you, I think that Saturdays you're still in the clear. I know you're not a huge college football guy, so you still get your Saturdays, but Sundays, are you ready for your apology time? I know your wife is also very busy working.
Yeah, luckily my wife's all very, she's a nurse, so she's always at the hospital. Well, I'm not a college football guy, but I'm working literally all day and night Sunday for us. So I work from what, 10 a.m. to midnight on Saturdays for us. So yeah, what's that that old thing? We interrupt this marriage to bring you the football season. That could be pretty much a nice little plaque I get put in my sports room here. So it is what it is, but is it the greatest part about this job though? And my wife knew this going in, by the way. We've been married 20 plus years, but she always knew I was a football person. And she'd go, "Hey, honey, we need to go to my sister's for a party." "Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I can't on Sunday. You know, football's on. I have to work. Sorry."
Yeah. I just got out of something for next Sunday, by the way, too. My wife said, "Oh, we got to go here Sunday." I'm like, "No, football starting." Yeah. And it's like I wonder if I could pull this off in like May. Just say football starting and see if I could slip it by. I mean, she knows I cover baseball, but anyway. Okay, let's bring in Brett Levy. It's time for today's Fantasy or Reality.
All right, Craig and George, we spoke about this a little bit earlier, but Cam Newton's still a free agent. He's expected to make a big announcement on Friday. And we're just not sure. Is someone going to sign Cam Newton? Is he going to play at all this year? So we have to ask you guys, and George, we'll start with you for this one. Cam Newton will start a game in the NFL this season. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Oh, Mr. Levy, this is a good question. This is a good question. I think he will be signed. I don't think Friday has anything to do with him going to a team, by the way. Unless if he starts blowing things up on Friday, then I'll take this back. Then he won't be with the team here. I think he'll be with the team. I do. I think it'll be, once again, after week one, he'll be signed with somebody for a backup third string, whatever it might be here. Does he start a game? Will depend on that team, probably that quarterback going down to injury. Once again, I think Baltimore would make some sense here. They would need Lamar Jackson to go down for him to start a game. So it's really what you believe is that, does the starting quarterback get hurt here? I'll say fantasy, all right, that maybe that quarterback stays healthy. Maybe he doesn't sign with the team. Yeah, maybe he is done here. So I'll say fantasy, but not with any really strong, I don't feel any strong leverage towards it, but fantasy.
Yeah, I feel like I just watched the entire series of The Sopranos and got to the ending. What was that, George? You just basically gave every possible narrative for Cam Newton signing, starting, and then we just fade to black. You said. Weird. I'm going to say reality. And the reason why is because there are 17 games now in the NFL season, and players are going to get hurt. Cam Newton is going to be a better backup option than some of the other players in the NFL. And it may not happen till week 14, 15, 16. But the other part of this too, George, teams fall out of it. Maybe some team signs Cam Newton and he starts the last two games of the season to see if he still has something. I'm going with exactly what you said, except for the answer that I thought that you were going to give. So I'm going to say reality that he will. I mean, you were building that nice crescendo there to the end and then just pulled the plug.
Pivoted.
Weird. Anyway, reality for me, Brett.
All right. Well, our next question, we're heading over to the diamond because the Yankees are on a bit of a losing streak, but the Blue Jays have a 6-game winning streak going, and they're playing some good baseball. And fun enough, this series is going on right now. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. The Blue Jays will win a wild card spot, obviously, in the American League. Is this a fantasy or reality?
They're really still within striking distance to get this done. And look, the Red Sox have shown some difficulties. The Yankees lately have shown some. Oakland's lost a bunch in a row. Seattle can't beat Houston. And the only team that's winning right now is Toronto. This feels like it's wide open. In the month of September, there are still 20, 25 games left to get this done. But I'm going to say fantasy. And the reason why is because I think the Blue Jays are in for a massive run. I think it's going to be very close and come down to one of the last days of the season. But outside of Robbie Ray, and I know Manoah has been okay, but outside of Robbie Ray, I just don't know that in a one-game scenario where they really have to have a win that they're going to get enough pitching in the last week of the season. So, I listen, very impressive run. I personally hope they get there. They have a really fun team, although Springer has not been right for the majority of the season. But I'm going to say fantasy. And I think between Boston, New York, Seattle, and Oakland, and Toronto, there can only be two of those. I think Toronto's on the outside looking in.
All right. I understand what you're saying here. Boston's got a lot of COVID problems, right? Where they have 10 guys on or something like that. And they really may have been playing above their heads anyway. And is there a pitcher you trust on that team? Any pitcher other than maybe Sale, he can only go 5-6 innings at this point. So I think they're in trouble. The Yankees, Cole just got hurt. I think he misses at least the start. They can't hit. They can't hit the wave in a paper bag right now. I mean, they lead the American League in double play, second in all of baseball. They lead the league in getting the most players thrown out on the bases. It's just not a fun team to watch. You know, they play a lot of ugly baseball. Toronto is right now tied in the loss column with Boston for that second wild card spot, but they have played four less games, so they'd have to win all four to be still in a tie there. The schedule for all these for all three of these teams is pretty much similar here. Toronto, you know, we make fun of their pitching, but Ryu, Ray, Manoah, Mats, that's better than the Yankees or Boston can throw out there as far as four guys. None of them's Cole, none of them's Sale, but that's better than what those teams can throw out as far as that, and we know they can hit. They can hit better than the Yankees, probably a little bit better than Boston. Boston can hit as well here. I'm going to say yes. I think it's only those three teams, by the way. Oakland, I think they've given up. Seattle, they said they can't beat the better teams here. So I think it's one of those three, either Yankees, Boston, or Toronto that doesn't get in. I'm going to say Toronto gets in. I think right now you can make an argument they get in over the Yankees and Boston. Yes on Toronto.
Yeah, two games back.
All right. Well, our last question, it is Star Trek Day. It's the 55th anniversary of Star Trek. So we got to ask, and George, we'll start with you for this one. I'm now aware that there are some television series as well. I thought there were only movies, so I apologize. But you have seen all of Star Trek. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I'm sorry. Did you say you did not know Star Trek was a television series?
Yeah, I had no idea. I thought it was like five movies, four movies. So I don't think there's any possible way anyone's seen all of it. But, you know, we're going to ask you.
And you guys make fun of me for not knowing things. All right. Star Trek. I was not a fan of the TV series. I didn't dislike it. It's really before my time. I think my mom was a big fan of it. I think she was a Trekkie as far as that's concerned. I saw the first movie of Star Wars, which was totally terrible. That was bad. Wrath of Khan, however, I thought was fantastic. You know, I thought really fantastic. So many good one lines in that movie that I could, you know, you repeat to your friends over and over again. You know, the override. Where's the override? You know, okay, Khan, here it comes. But that's when I stopped. I think there's more than five, would be my guess here. I know one had to do with whales, one had to do with getting Spock back, who they killed off in two, and Wrath of Khan. But no, I've seen some episodes of the series, but I've only seen the first two movies. The last three, four, seven, I have not seen.
Okay. So it's like a kind of an open-ended question. I guess that there's like not a clear definitive answer for me. I have seen probably all of the movies, the Star Trek movies. I'm not a huge Star Trek fan at all. Much bigger in the Star Wars than Star Trek. But the Wrath of Khan was fantastic. Search for Spock was really good too. And then the movies that they made after that, I don't feel like that they were great, but I still saw them at some point. And then the Next Generation, which was on after that, I can't say that I watched it every week, but I am aware of it and I did see it. So I don't know if that counts as an answer in terms of reality, but I was not one of those who lived to see it every single week, who got the DVD sets of all of that. And I feel like that's kind of the way I was with Star Wars, although it never really had a television show. So I'm going to say fantasy. And by the way, the show that was on in the, I think, late 60s and 70s, or maybe just the 70s, I was a fan of that show as well. So I did like it. So it is a reality. But to say that I've seen them all and all of the Next Generation ones, and if you will recall, I believe on one of the streaming services, they started up Star Wars again. I think it was on maybe CBS, Viacom, I'm not sure. They started showing those in new episodes again, George. So I can't say I was there. You were bigger on Star Wars, though, than Star Trek, correct?
Oh, I've seen everything Star Wars. I mean, yeah, I'm watching The Bad Batch now, the animation, as far as that's concerned. I'm a big Star Wars guy here. What do you feel as far as Star Trek, though? Have you seen the newer ones? I forgot about the newer ones with Chris Pine.
Yeah, I saw the movie in the movies. I remember seeing it. It was pretty good. I think they made a follow-up to that. I thought that was good, too. Captain Jean-Luc Picard, of course, who came in after William Shatner, and I saw the movies that he was in as well. Generations, I believe, was another one. But again, these are the kind of movies that sometimes I went to see, or sometimes I just caught them on TV. It wasn't like it was must-watch television or must-watch movies for me. So it's kind of hard for me to answer reality, because I have seen them. I know they exist, but they're not at the top of my playlist, like Sting is on your playlist, or NFL music, George, on your playlist.
For me, it's definitely fantasy. I know I haven't seen a bunch here. I lost interest for whatever reason, even though I think it's a pretty good franchise. I know in the new one, what always bothered me at the new ones with Chris Pine is that the Enterprise was always destroyed within the first half hour.
True.
Yeah, you kind of want to see the ship and see the ship do some damage and phasers, you know, lock on phasers, and boom, boom, boom. And the ship's always wrecked. I found that weird that in both those new movies that the ship was wrecked. I don't know what that says about Chris Pine being Admiral Kirk or whatever he is in that thing. He's a younger guy, so he's not Admiral yet. Doesn't show me much there. You're not very good at commanding a ship. You keep getting a damn thing wrecked.
Who played Mr. Spock? Do you recall? I know. I'm asking you.
It's the guy from Heroes, the bad guy in Heroes.
No, I'm saying the old Spock. The old Spock, George.
No, Leonard Nimoy.
Okay, good. At least you got that.
Come on, I'm not that far gone.
Well, you never know. I mean, with you, George, we got to, you know, kind of manage it.
All right,
here,
sure. That's fair. But yeah, I stop around the 90s, as a friend of mine tells me. A friend of mine asked me yesterday, gave me, I don't even remember. Do you know who this and this is? I'm like, no idea. I thought it was like a new website. He goes, these are bands that are playing nowadays. I'm like, no. He goes, oh yeah, I forgot you stopped after 93. He's right. My pretty much social stuff stops at the 93.
I understand. How about Sulu? You know who played Sulu?
No, I know who it is, but I have no idea.
Yeah, very active on social media. George Takei,
yes.
I believe it.
George Takei. Isn't he fighting with somebody? A little bit too. I would see him.
He may be joining. Are you fighting with somebody? I don't know. We're all fighting with somebody. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be fighting with our break here. Connell will get mad at LTN. Why are we going to break? So let's do that now. And then we'll come back for the Sports Grid 60. And then we'll be right back here tomorrow at noon Eastern. Joby Zapia will be with us. And we'll be right back. Break.
Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
break.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. As always, we wrap up the show with a final thought on something happening in sports or maybe even in our lives, and we call it the Sports Grid 60.
All right. As everybody knows, football opens up tomorrow, which means odds are your fantasy drafts. Maybe you're having your last one tonight. Maybe it's tomorrow. I personally prefer it to be tonight. But fantasy was invented to be fun, to be a game. I know, listen, I want to win. I'm playing my brother in a league, and I want to kick his butt from here till next Tuesday. All right, but I don't want, you know, it's fun. I'm not someone who gets into it where I'm going to be mad at somebody if I lose. I'm not going to talk to Craig if Craig beats me. I don't talk a lot of trash either, for that matter. It's a fun game. It should be fun. Yes, we play in some high stakes leagues, but it's enjoyable and it should be enjoyable. And that's the same thing that comes along with it, making the transactions. Set your lineup. I can't say this enough. Set a lineup. You know, it drives me insane with people who play and don't set lineups. You know, they have guys just no way they should be in there, especially if you're at the end of the baseball league now. And, you know, I don't care if you're out of it. If I'm playing Craig and he's in second place and I'm in last, I'm still setting a lineup. I still want to beat Craig, but more importantly, I want to keep the league fair, where maybe there's a chance Craig loses and I could take away some points from him. It drives me insane when people don't take it seriously or don't stop playing here. But more importantly, it's fun. Have a good time and good luck to everybody.
All right. Thanks, George. Maybe good luck needed for Jacob Odorizzi of the Houston Astros, who got really upset, saying that basically Houston Astros pitchers go five innings and come out and it's a bunch of BS. Not the best look for Jake Odorizzi, by the way, who is pitching for a team that has a really strong track record of developing and getting pitchers to get back to who they are, who they were. Zach Greinke and Verlander, a couple there. Odorizzi will find his way out of Houston at the end of the season. I guess that's a good thing. But by the way, Houston's going to make that postseason. Let's hope for him. He's on the postseason roster. That will do it for our show today. Thanks to Connell over at LTN. Thanks to Danny, of course, and Ryan over in our graphics department. Thank you to our producer, Brett Levy. For my co-host, George Kurtz, I'm Craig Mish. Inviting you back here tomorrow at noon for another edition of Fantasy Sports Today. We'll kick off the NFL season in style here on Sports Grid. Have a great day, everybody.